2 Corinthians chapter 3, I got to start kind of in an odd place or where I'm going to start in the first, and since it's in the middle of the text, I know at the very beginning, unless you've studied this, it's not going to make a lot of sense to you. I'll have a main point from it, and then, but I will go back and then we'll see. But let me start in verse 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11 says, "For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished, but their minds were blinded. For until this day remaineth the same veil, untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord," it's talking about it being their heart, "the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today and the fellowship we've had, the singing. Lord, now I pray that we'll be intent upon hearing from you. I pray you meet with us, Lord, and just fill this place with your presence in a mighty and powerful way. And you know every need here, Lord, every need. Lord, I pray that you'll take the veil off our hearts and eyes that we can see our need, and that we'll turn to you with everything we have. And we'll ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And I got the title of the message today is Changed. Changed, and the key verse is verse 18, where it says, "But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord," it says, "are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." I want you to notice that it says are changed, a positive and present tense change. It doesn't say we will be changed. It doesn't say we're going to be changed. It says that we are changed. But now, when we look at the church today, and I don't mean the church, I can say this individual church or just the whole church, the church itself, corporately, all the churches, the body of Christ. When we look at the church today, what do we see? You know, are we seeing the changed lives that are radiating the glory of God? This is a question I want you to get to, and I want you to pay attention here. What is your idea of Christianity? And this, everybody, listen, nobody knows what you're thinking except God. Nobody knows what you're thinking. I want you all to think, really pay attention, concentrate right here, because your eternity depends on this right here somewhat. What is your idea of Christianity? Let's put it in a nutshell for a lot of people. It's this way. I go to church. I learn about God. I hear preaching. We sing some songs. Maybe hear the preaching. Maybe even do some of the things that the Bible teaches us about. Or not do some of the things that we shouldn't do. Sing some songs. And that's about it. Right? Nobody knows what you're thinking. I want you to think about this. Is that about wrap up my Christianity? You know, I got saved. Listen, I don't know about you guys. I went to church when I was a little kid. I did, but you know, and then I went a big stretch and didn't go. I kind of did some praying every once in a while. But, you know, when I got saved, I started going to church right before I got saved, as a matter of fact. And then I got saved right after that at home. I got saved. And so here's what changed. I started going to church, which I hadn't been doing that, and I did start reading my Bible. That started happening in my life, and I did start thinking, hey, here's some stuff I need to get rid of out of my life, and there was some things I need to put in my life, and I did some praying, and I sang a few songs, but when you get right down to it, that's about what wrapped up my Christianity. I was a Christian, and that's what Christians do, and that's what I did, and I know this, that there's a lot of Christians in the world today, and a lot of people probably here today, that is what the extent of your Christianity is. Don't have to answer me. Don't have to raise your hand. I'm not going to play the hands game. I'm not going to ask you that. I just want you to just sit there and think and say, okay, yeah, that's me. Or not. Maybe it's more to you than that. But I just want you to just be honest with yourself, be honest with God, because He knows. But you know what it says? And see what it says in verse 18. It says, "But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image." The same image of the Lord from glory to glory, even as the Spirit of the Lord. You know, it says we beholding as in a glass. This right here, you know, I used the mirror illustration before. If I'd have thought fast enough, I'd have put a little picture I got up there about it's got like a little monkey looking in there. And he said, "I used to think I was ugly, but I looked at my brother and now I'm okay." That's pretty funny, but on there. But, you know, we're looking at the glass. This is the Word of God. And it's talking about this. We're looking at the Word of God. It transforms us, which is change, into the image of Christ. It's a glass. It's a mirror. There's certainly a major emphasis on the reading of God's Word. There's a certain major, you know, and you got to, I try to get people, I'm telling people, listen, you need to read the Bible on your own. Don't just wait for me every week. If you did that, it would be like doing this. It would be like looking in the mirror once a week or taking a bath once a week or getting cleaned up once a week. You don't do that. You know, you do it every day. Word of God every day, do. It's going to change you that way. You know, we're going to change more of that. But you know what it does? If we look at that, it also pictures this, though, openness and honesty with God and with ourselves. You know, you can talk all day long about how beautiful you are or how handsome you are, but when you look in the mirror, the truth comes out. Doesn't it? Huh? Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all, right? A lot of times, well, the mirror's saying it ain't you. It's not us. We look in the mirror and it reveals some things to us. And so we either have to lie to ourselves or confess the truth. That's really what God wants us to do. It's all just about being honest. You know, because we can sit in here, man, listen, we're thinking, oh boy, it is, a lot of people do this. They say, you know what, man, that message, boy, that's really what so-and-so over there really needs to hear. Boy, they really need to hear that message. Uh-huh. And then, you know, over there. But then what happens when conviction comes just a little bit our way, you know, we start thinking, oh man, you know, yeah, boy, that's really hitting me, man. I got to, you know, we get a little uptight and get, and then we say, you know, I don't want to confess anything because, man, all these people, you know, listen, just get honest with yourself. God knows, you might as well be honest with Him. Most of the time, you know, God always knows, and most of the time it's we that don't know because we done lied to ourselves so long. And so we have to say, look, let's just be honest with God. Pretend like nobody's in the room but you and God. You know? And I'm give you the word and God speaks, so be honest. Just be honest. That's what it all boils down to. Listen, God's not expecting perfection. God's just expecting us to be honest. Amen. Say, listen, I got a problem. I have people say, well, you know what? I'm afraid to do this. All right, tell God. Tell God I'm afraid and I need to be bold. You know, I got a problem with this. Okay, tell God. Just, you know, I'm not sure about something. Tell God. Ask God for wisdom. You know, whatever it is, just be honest with God. That's what he wants. All those other things, listen, church, Bible reading, preaching, singing, and all this, that is part of a relationship with Jesus Christ. But if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, all you have is religion. And religion, I don't even like the word religion. A lot of people say, well, there's a religious person. Listen, people that threw their babies down the mouths of volcanoes praying to some false god were religious. Huh? You can worship Satan and be religious, brother. I mean, I don't like that. I don't like the term. But if we're just going through a formal thing, I would show up on Sunday, okay. Preacher didn't get started. Listen, I want you to know something. I didn't get started preaching until 11:45. So it's going to be 11:45. So when your watch starts beeping at 12, I'm not going to be done. I'm going to tell you that right now. We got it all down to a little system. You better be done. We're going to cut and slide. Because I got my life all categorized, and this part of my life's got to be over at 12:05, or my whole schedule's messed up. That's religion. That's religion, man. That's not a Christianity. Jesus wants a relationship. Not a religious ritual that has no impact on the inner man. And even if, listen, I'm saying as a saved person, I'm not saying you're lost. I'm just saying as a saved person that you can just come to church, read your Bible a little bit, pray a little bit, do a few songs, go home tonight, go home this afternoon, and then not show up back up here until Sunday morning. I'm saying you can be saved doing that. But that's not the relationship of Jesus Christ. There's more to it than that. There's nothing, you know, nothing's really changing other than what you happen to do at this time. You know what I used to do on Sunday? I used to wash my car on Sunday. 12, you know, during church time. I used to wash my car. I got saved. You know what I did? I got convicted about doing that on Sunday. So when I first did it, I still wanted to do it. I used to pull my car around behind the house, just up as close to the house as I could get. We lived in the country, and I'd wash it, nobody'd see me. God saw me, right? I felt so bad doing that, I just quit. I just rode around in a dirty car the rest of the week. I got just 2 points. Brought to Christ and changed by Christ. Brought to Christ and changed by Christ. All the way back in verse 11 when I started, this may seem confusing to you, and I'll clear it up for you real well. It says, for if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. We're in the New Testament here, you understand that. What it's talking about, it's just talking about the law and grace. It's talking about the law and Christ. The law, it was done away with to a certain degree, was when you weren't saved by obeying the law, and that's what it's speaking about. And I'll clear it up a little even better than that in here in just a second. In Moses' day, the law was even fading away, heading towards the day of grace. But I want you to see what was going on. Moses went up on the mountain and he talked with God. And remember, you know, Moses had a relationship with God. He talked with God. The people all waited down there and say, Moses, you go up there and see what God's got to say. We're going to wait back here. A lot of people do that today in church today. They say, preacher, you study the Word of God, you find out what all that means, and we'll just wait for you to tell us what it means. And they don't have a relationship with God. You want me to have a relationship with God for you. So you got to have your own relationship. So Moses goes up on the mountain and he talks with God. And God says, okay, I'm going to give you my law. And listen, everybody think, oh, the law, man, the law's done. The law, it says it was glorious right there in verse 11. The law was glorious. It was good. It was perfect. It was right. It's still good. I told him last week, I said, listen, thou shalt not murder. I like that. I don't want you killing me. You know, I like thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not lie. I don't want you lying to me either. Thou shalt not steal. I don't want you stealing. It's still good, right? We like that. Okay? And so he went up there and he got the law. But do you know being in that close of a presence with God? He didn't even know it. He come off the mountain, his face shone. Man, you ever been around somebody been real close to God for a long period of time? Boy, and their porch light is on. But, I mean, you can see it in their eye. I mean, man, you can just tell when somebody's been. He came down, his face shone. Well, he put a veil on his face. You know, when I first learned all that, I thought, well, he put a veil on his face because his face was so bright and everybody was going like that and they didn't have sunglasses back in those days. That's not what it was. What happened was after he came away from God, is the longer he got around the people, the shine faded. And that there's a spiritual picture was it represented the law. You know, the Jews were really adherents, or they liked the law. They wanted the law. The law was it was fading away. So Moses didn't want him to see it fading. The glory on his face fade. So he put this veil on. Then when he went back and talked with God, he took the veil off. And all that meant was it was coming to a day, we were going to head to a day of grace, and that what the law was in that day, you had to obey the law, you had to kill the animals, you had to do the sacrifice and all that to be saved and have a relationship with God. You had to do all that. It was coming to a new day. It was coming to the day of grace when Jesus Christ was going to be your means, in relationship with God. And there's a whole lot involved in that as far as you didn't have to go to the priest and Moses didn't have to have a relationship for you. You could have your own relationship with God through Jesus Christ. It was coming to a better day. And so that was what was really going on. But Moses, his faith, he reflected the glory of God. And the law, as I said, was glorious. And it says right there, if that which was done away, the law was glorious. And it was. It had a purpose. And the purpose of the law was this. Wrap it up real good. It was just to bring people to Jesus Christ today. It was to tell people, like, here's the law. And the people in Exodus, I think Exodus chapter 19 or 20, the people, God asked him, do you want grace or do you want the law? They said, oh, give us the law, we'll obey the law. Well, guess what? They didn't obey it. I mean, you have to obey every single part of it all the time. They obeyed part of it just like us, right? We do a lot of what God says to do, don't we? I mean, you know, anybody killing anybody this last week? Feel like it, but you didn't. We do a lot of it, we don't do it all. And so the only way the law would you could be righteous through the law is if you obey the law absolutely perfectly 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, you know, all the time. And we don't. That's what God wants you to see. God said, here's the law. And then you look at the law and say, well, you know what? I'm just not doing everything. I do a lot of it, but I don't do it all. That's the point. God says, okay, I want you to see that you can't get there by the law. You've got to have grace, mercy, forgiveness, Jesus Christ. Amen. The law brings you, what the law does is it brings you to Christ. You finally get to the end of yourself where you say, you look in that mirror and you say, you know, I don't look as good as I thought I looked. You know, the old good person. There's that old good person test about lying, cheating, stealing. You look in there and you finally you start getting honest with yourself and God, and you say, you know what? I'm not as good as I thought I was. Great. You're honest. Honesty. You're not lying anymore. See, you already got it. We got one over the hump right there. You got one of the part of the law straight. You're not lying to yourself anymore. I'm not as good as that's what God wants. Be honest. Okay? So the law brings you to Christ. That's the whole purpose of that. You know, and the Old Testament saints were brought to obedience to an external standard. Here's the law, do that. That's what it is, a guideline. But listen, obedience to an external standard cannot and did not change the human heart. When I was a kid and I went to school, there was a couple boys. They were kind of rough boys. They grew up in rougher neighborhoods and they had rougher upbringing than I had. And they got in trouble. And they sent them to reform school. Y'all probably heard of that. Some of you probably been there. They sent them to reform school. Down there, they got two of them. I know of two of them in Virginia, towards Richmond, Hanover and Beaumont. And they would send them there. And I remember this one boy, he was tough, man. You didn't mess with this guy. And he was always nice to me, nice guy. But I didn't want to mess with him. But he went, you know, and I got to looking, and I knew a couple of the boys that went to reform school. You know the thing about reform school? They all went there more than once. There wasn't a single boy that I knew that went to reform school one time, came back, and everything went good after that. They would go there, and then the next year, year and a half later, they did the next thing you know, back to reform school. Going back and forth. You know why? Because reform school was just trying to get them to obey a certain set of standards that would, you know, so they would fit into society or whatever, but it did not change their heart. Amen. Their heart did not change. You know, we go out here today, I like to use the old speed limit illustration because me and I struggle with that. I'll be honest. Speed limit out there on the interstate says 70 mile an hour, right? And I kind of obey it. Really. Kind of. But I'm going to tell you way down inside, I don't want to. Man, I just want to get on my motorcycle, man, and just let it eat, man. I mean, whoa, you know. Now, I got a limit. I mean, I get up to around 90. I like back off a little bit. My heart don't want to, you know, pray for me. Now, I will say this. The older I get, the slower, closer to the speed limit I drive. You know, I get going now. The speed limit's 70, and I'll even go all the way to Colorado. I'll put my thing on 74. You know, I'll squeak 4 miles an hour out of it. And yesterday, I was going up the interstate there, and I was doing 75. And this car goes by, driving by me. It was going faster than I was. I was already going 75. We went right through a radar trap. You know, that guy didn't even come out and get them. I thought, man, I can drive faster than what I'm doing. But you see what happens is it's the heart's got to change. So all the law does is show us that we're sinners and we need Christ. You know, a lot of times we go out and tell people, listen, you know, why don't you come to church? Brian and I was talking today. I got a list this long of people that say, you know, we was thinking about coming to church. And that's on the membership side. They already they already members here. No, I'm just kidding. There's people that say, you know, we were thinking about coming to church. Well, if they come, what are they going to find? Are they going to find religion? Or are they going to find people that are with a living relationship, in a living relationship with Jesus Christ? You know, like I say, when we invite folks a lot of times too, I think our motivation is just to grow the church instead of making disciples of Christ, and that's not correct either. Like I say, so a lot of people say, you know, well, we're thinking about coming. In the last, and I said this last week maybe, or Wednesday night or somewhere along the line here this week, there was a whole list of people that told us that we were thinking about coming, told Sherry and I, and even told Brian. You know how many of them in the last, and it's been about the last 3-4 weeks, you know how many of them's come? None of them. And I'm talking about a list, man. If they were here, they would fill up all that empty spot right there in the middle. They'd fill all that up and then some. They'd fill up all this side over here. They'd catch up with you guys on this side. But why don't they come? Because their heart's not changed. There's no relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, when you think about it, does a lost person really need church, religion, ritual? No. He needs Jesus Christ, the person. The person. He doesn't need Christ's institution. He needs Jesus Christ himself. See, the church, listen, I'm not knocking the church. I mean, you know, if nobody was here, it'd be real strange. The church is for saved people. Amen. I mean, Jesus Christ, listen, he established the church. He empowered the church. You know, he died for the church. And he's coming back for the church, trust me. But the church are the saved people. People out there, they don't just, a lost person doesn't need church. He needs Jesus Christ. Then he needs the church. Then he needs the church after his salvation. That's what's wrong with folks that are lost. They haven't come to that place where they see that or been brought to Christ. I'm not saying, listen, it's good to bring a lost person to church. Don't get me wrong. Don't say, listen, you can't come because you're lost, pastor said. No, listen, bring them. And if they come, great, because maybe they'll see when, through the preaching of the word, that they need Jesus Christ and they'll get saved. That, you know, try to do a gospel message that way. But you know what happens at church a lot of times? We just give out what we do. What I'm giving to you is I'm giving you information. And, you know, really the truth is most of us have enough information. What we need is transformation, not information. And that's what's wrong a lot of times with us is we're not transformed. We haven't been changed. Listen, I knew about Jesus before I was saved. I knew about Jesus. I knew about the resurrection. I knew about the cross. I didn't doubt it. I knew there was God. I knew He created the universe. I knew all those things, but I'd never been saved. I'd been brought to Christ, but not changed by Christ. There's a difference. I knew that. I knew all those things. I had the information. Information produces education. Jesus produces life. And all the law, and to some extent even preaching today, has only brought people to Christ. They've been introduced, but, you know, no relationship. And, you know, you might be here. Listen, you might be here and you've been in church all your life. I want you to think about this. And I told you to think about your Christianity, what it really involves. Seriously. I want you to think about this. Have you only been brought to Christ, introduced to Him, but you've never been changed by Jesus Christ? That's the second point. If that's the case, let me ask you this. You've been brought to Christ and you've made a profession. You say, you know, Pastor, I've trusted Jesus in my life. All right, let me ask you this. What changed since you made that profession? I started going to church every now and then. Some people could say, be honest and say, hey, you know, I don't want to, but I go. Right? Maybe I read my Bible once in a while or do those things right there. Maybe pray once in a while. What's changed in your life? I mean, is that your definition of a living relationship? You show up at church once in a blue moon, read your Bible every once in a while, maybe listen to some singing, maybe even do a little singing, hear some praying. Listen, did God send His Son to die on an old rugged cross to be tortured just about to death, to take the whole sins of all the world on His own self? To die and to be mocked and humiliated, nailed to a cross? Did Jesus Christ come to the earth just so that we could just show up at church once in a while and sing a couple songs? Is that it? And that was an awful price to pay for that. Matter of fact, we could do that without what Jesus did. Or did Jesus Christ come and die and suffer and bleed so that we could be changed from glory to glory into the image of Christ by His Holy Spirit? See, it's a difference in just knowing about Christ, getting to that point in a living personal relationship. You know, Peter and his mother-in-law had been healed. He saw Jesus heal his mother-in-law, and you saw him do many other things. Jesus kind of was starting a relationship with him. And then one day, Jesus was preaching down by the sea, and there was a big crowd, and Jesus said, listen, Peter, put me on, I'm going to get in the boat and push out a little bit because the crowd's pushing down here. And he preached to him. And when he got done, he told Peter, he said, listen, It's daytime, middle of the day. Peter was a professional fisherman. He knew you fished at night, and he knew you fished in the shallow water. He said, push out in the deep in the middle of the day. He said, I want you to throw your net over on the side, on this other side of the boat. And Peter said, well, Lord, you know, we toiled all night, and we didn't catch anything. But nevertheless, he said, at thy word, I'll do it. And man, it said he brought up such a big bunch of fish that the net started to break. And he even had to call for the other disciples on the shore to get their boat out there to load all the fish up. Payday. And when that happened, the Bible says that Peter fell at Jesus' feet and he said, Lord, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. All of a sudden, he had been introduced to Jesus, but he never really understood who really, truly that he was, even after seeing a physical, real miracle take place. And he said, depart from me. He fell down. He said, depart from me. I'm a sinful man. I'm going to tell you something. It happens every single time when you come to in the Bible, in the Word of God, when somebody realized exactly who Jesus Christ was, that they saw him, when they saw him clear, they saw themselves clear. And they knew that they were a sinful man and they fell at the feet of Jesus. Every single time. There's no substitute for that. It doesn't change today either. When you see Christ, you'll see yourself. And you'll see your need. And he fell down and did that. But you know, he had been all around him and seen things. And so many people today in churches, they've been around Jesus. They've been around the singing. And there's a danger there. I'm going to tell you something. There's a danger in sitting in church week in, week out and singing all the songs and saying amen at the right spot and getting your Bible out and just kind of playing church a little while. There's a danger of you'll start talking yourself into being saved when you really haven't had a personal relationship or don't have a personal relationship with Christ. Peter had been hanging around there long enough, but he realized that, you know, he said, man, I see it right there. He called him Lord, man. He knew he was. And you know what happened? Jesus said, follow me. He said, I'm going to make you fishers of men. And guess what? The Bible says that Peter forsook all and followed Jesus. What changed after he had a relationship with Christ? I'm going to tell you, for him, everything. His occupation changed. He threw the fishing nets down. Man, he went and he became a disciple maker. He started going out and telling others about Jesus. He led them to Christ. I'm not saying, listen, you get saved today and you're going to go into work tomorrow and say, I quit. I'm not saying that's going to happen. Jesus may not, he may not call you. He may call you into full-time Christian, but I'm not saying that's going to happen. But I'm saying something changed. What changed in your life since your profession where you say that you got saved? Really, what changed? And I'm going to tell you the only thing, it doesn't matter what changed on the outside. What changed in here? It's in your heart. It's in your heart. If nothing changed, then you know you're not saved. You're lost. You've just only been introduced to Jesus. Somebody's whistling. You know, when Jesus said, follow me, I say, forsook all. That was a transformed life. When we look in the book of Acts, and I love it, we see the early church, and I love that part of it. We see the early church was powerful and loving and sharing and witnessing and full of the Holy Ghost, and they were praying. This is the early church, man. You see it. They met daily, every day. Thousands of people were getting saved. They prayed and they sang, man. There was love. There was joy on their face. They couldn't keep their mouths shut about Jesus. And I want to tell you something else. They didn't have a Bible in the bunch. Amen. They didn't have a single Bible in the bunch. They didn't have the verses. They didn't have Hebrews 10:25. It says, not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. They didn't know nothing about that. They showed up because they wanted to. They didn't have the verses that says, hey, go out there, love your brother. Love your brother and love your neighbor and all that. They just loved everybody because they were full of the Holy Spirit. They didn't have all the verses that told them to go out and witness to other people and tell other people about Jesus. They just did it because, guess what? They were full of the Holy Spirit, and they did what the Holy Spirit let them do because they were full of the Holy Spirit. They didn't have an external formality. They had an internal change. They had moved from justification to sanctification to glorification. It was obedience that was born out of love and not fear. Born out of love and not fear. I want you all to stand for just, we're about done. Stand, I want you to bow your heads. And I want to forget about all the formality. You know, in our formality, you know what's coming next, don't you? You know, boy, the preacher got done. He got his notes done and he's about to close his Bible. And boy, we're all happy because we done got to this point right here in the service. You're all standing and say, boy, he's going to be done. I'm going to go home, get me something to eat. And the race is coming on today. I want us to forget about all the formality stuff that where we're at in the invitation. I want you to know, nobody looking around, everybody got their heads bowed and forget about that. How many can confess that they've only been brought to Christ but never been changed by Christ? Anybody? Anybody want you can raise your hand. I don't always do the hands thing. Evangelists do it.